At most schools, administrators select the commencement speaker. Colorado College, as usual, has its own tradition. The senior class is in charge of choosing the speaker. In the college's spirit of asking tough questions and challenging yourselves, your peers, and society, you have chosen a distinguished fellow alumnus. Now, over the past 3 years, serving as president of Colorado College, I am asked frequently, usually by parents of prospective students, so tell me what good a liberal arts education is when I pay all this money for it. What is my daughter or my son prepared to do? And I've learned that the answer is really people rather than process. I mentioned Van Skilling, the chair of our board of trustees, who you just heard, who was the CEO of a major multinational corporation. Or I mentioned several distinguished women scientists who run major environmental and biological organizations in this country and who credit CC with much of their success. Or, as often happens, when I'm not sure exactly which base to cover, when I'm talking to someone who may need information about teaching or about science or about the arts, I mention Neil Baer. His story, of course, can be a little overwhelming. After all, he is, among other things, a practicing physician, children's advocate, television writer, and executive producer of one of today's highest-rated network series. Usually, I mention all of these accolades and programs and degrees and hyphens, and that's enough. Parents say, okay, if Colorado College can produce that kind of producer, it must be a great place. But today, I'm talking to you as family members. And you already know this about Neil. You already know that you can easily combine filmmaking with biology. You do it here. Athletics with sociology. You do it here. So with you, I want to go just a bit farther. One of the things I find most intriguing about Neil Baer's career is this. Neil didn't complete his medical career in pediatrics until he was a successful writer. He could then have abandoned the medical career. He could have taken his laurels and left that sandbox content that he had made it in some fundamental and certainly widely accepted sense of the word. Why didn't he? I'm going to venture a guess that the answer is this. It is knowledge in the service of the community. When you read Neil's writings about what he's doing on ER, on Law and Order SUV, on the various programs on which he works, the activities in which he is engaged, he never stops talking about educating. He told me last night when we chatted just before dinner that he's just back from India, where he was talking to television producers about how you could work an HIV education message into television shows in India. To Neil, education is not something that is dry or that exists only in the classroom. To him, education is something that happens in the discourse of the drama. It is accurate information presented to all those who need to know it, be it shaken baby syndrome or HIV. Neil clearly believes in the possibilities that education presents to even the least of us, to those who need it most, and those who can least access it. I don't know the degree to which CC has influenced Neil Baer, but I suspect that like those of you sitting in front of me today, the influence is mutual. In your classes, in your dorms, on your field trips, on your block breaks, I hope and I believe that you have found that education is a living, breathing thing. Learning thrives among a community of people who share their experiences, who believe that any forum is an opportunity for thinking with others, and who have the confidence that that capacity of the human mind is only exceeded by the capacity of the human heart. The life that Neil has led is the same life that you are about to explore, one of service, one of intellectual integrity, of the belief in education for all of our citizenry, of the immense possibilities before you. It is with great pride that I introduce to you one of our own, a member of the class of 1978 and a recipient of the 2000 Colorado College Honorary Doctor of Laws degree, Neil Aaron Baer.
Good morning. I'm honored to be here to congratulate the graduating senior class of the Colorado College. I warmly applaud everyone else here today whose efforts have brought all of you to this momentous occasion in your lives. Your professors' unflagging support has nourished your minds, and your dynamic athletic program has strengthened your bodies. Thank you, President Celeste and Jacqueline Lundquist, trustees, members of the faculty, and especially parents, grandparents, family members, for a job very well done. I'm particularly honored to have been selected by the students to give this commencement address. Typically, whenever I speak, I show clips from my shows, then take questions from the audience. Unfortunately, we're not set up for a multimedia presentation, so I won't be able to show any scenes from ER or SVU, but I can certainly answer any questions like, what's it like to work with Mariska? She's great. Is George Clooney a cool guy? Yes, but he never knows his lines. He writes them on people's backs. Do we have any microphones available for questions? Oh, we don't. Well, in that case, I prepared a few words for a more traditional speech. It's not often one gets the chance to thank those professors who make a difference in a student's life. Please indulge me almost 30 years later. Thank you, Tim Fuller, for exhorting me to reflect more deeply. Neil, you wrote on one of my exams in political theory, you must reflect more deeply. Professor Fuller, I'm still trying. Thank you, Bob Lee, for introducing me to African politics. You took me to the world outside the U.S. and initiated my interest in world health. Thank you, John Simons, for helping me to understand Wallace Stevens and Eliot. I still turn to poetry for inspiration, to find ways to fashion crystalline dialogue. It's not easy. Thank you, Charlotte Mendoza and Paul Kurbis, for passing on to me your joy and enthusiasm for teaching children, be it in the classroom, or in the hospital, or in the clinic. And thank you, Glenn Brooks, for believing in me in times when I had lost my way. Back in 1978, when I graduated from CC, if anyone had said, you will become a physician and a TV writer and a producer, I would have scoffed. I loved movies like everyone else, but I was a poli-sci major. I took psychology as my science elective, that's it, and a smattering of English lit courses. I was planning back then to work in educational policy to improve public schooling. So how did I get where I am today from my education at Colorado College? What is my story? Ethics, social policy, and social theory, which I studied at CC, inspired me to become a physician and also inform all the stories I tell on television. In fact, I learned in my political science courses how to tell stories, how to think about and explain behavior using data, how to integrate ideas and apply them in novel ways. One of the first concepts I learned at CC was in an introductory political science course taught by Robert Levy. He taught us that the falsifiability of a statement was the currency of political science. If a statement is falsifiable, it can be tested empirically. Otherwise, it's an opinion. This concept has served me well through the years, now more than ever. For instance, there's much conflict today, wrenching our country apart, over opinions that some hold as fact. Debate rages over the teaching of creationism and intelligent design as being equally acceptable in the classroom as the scientific theory of evolution. Lawrence Krauss, chairman of the physics department at Case Western Reserve University, recently wrote astutely in the New York Times about the conflict between what can be tested empirically and what can only be held as faith. Krauss writes that the Big Bang, or the beginning of the universe, is not a metaphysical theory, but a scientific one, namely one that derives from equations that have been measured to describe the universe and that makes predictions that one can test. One can't empirically test creationism or intelligent design, and therefore, I don't believe they should be taught a scientific doctrine in our public schools. Krauss goes on to say that questions of purpose that may underlie these discoveries are outside the scope of science, and scientists themselves have many different views in this regard. This is profoundly important. Whether or not you believe the purpose of the Big Bang was inspired by God is a matter of your own individual faith. However, it is not a falsifiable question and can never be tested scientifically. Unfortunately, fear of science and rational thinking is wreaking havoc across the country. Even here in Colorado Springs, which is a microcosm of the culture wars, this fear is being played out by the doctrinaire views a focus on the family, which challenged the tradition of open inquiry epitomized by Colorado College. When the Speaker of the House tells his colleagues that the shooting at Columbine happened because, quote, our school systems teach the children that they are nothing but glorified apes who are evolutionized, sick, out of some primordial soup of mud, it is clear we are in dire need of well-educated, thoughtful graduates like yourselves to speak up and engage in this vital debate. My professors encouraged me to think hard about the pressing issues confronting us and our world. Take global warming, for instance. It was just being talked about when I graduated. Is it still truly a problem? Look at the scientific evidence. It is difficult to deny that dangerous changes have occurred with the thinning of the ozone layer and the melting polar ice caps. And yet, some would argue that these scientific measurements are propaganda, or that because they interfere with economic development, they can be ignored. My appeal to you, don't turn away from science. Don't blindly accept propaganda. Read widely. Analyze everything with the critical thinking you have learned here. You might end up with views radically different from mine. So what? You are engaged. Today you face enormous challenges I couldn't have imagined 25 years ago. Terrorism, AIDS, stem cell research, cloning, and the economic dilemmas of globalization. What makes these issues even more difficult is how to address them in a growing climate of fear and closed-mindedness. I believe telling stories for social change is one way each of you can make a difference. As a physician and a television writer, I've been fortunate to tell stories on a variety of thorny topics. Here are just a few of the questions I've raised for the television audience over the past few years. Recent neurological research shows that impulse control doesn't fully develop until after adolescence. So you all are just past that. Should juveniles be tried as adults? Fetal alcohol syndrome is the number one cause of mental retardation in the U.S. Should a woman who is pregnant be forced to stop drinking if she intends to keep the pregnancy? Do her reproductive rights trump a fetus's rights? Where do we draw the line in protecting the fetus? African Americans are less likely to have access to kidney transplants, and many people die owing to a lack of transplantable kidneys. Should we allow people to sell their kidneys? Would the poor be more likely to sell them and the rich to buy them? Is that fair? Some video games have graphic violence and encourage the player to run over women with cars for points. Should we ban these games? Do these games encourage violent behavior? Many of the stories I told on ER and continue to present on SVU are based on my personal experience as a physician. I call the stories of my doctoring private stories. These are the cases I've seen as a physician that have made an impact. For example, as a pediatrician, I've treated adolescents for alcohol poisoning. And alcohol abuse by teens is a major public health crisis, with one out of three seniors in high school regularly binge drinking. I took that private story about a young man I treated and wrote two episodes of ER illustrating the problems of alcohol abuse in adolescence and how we can try to treat it. I call these television stories public stories because they are inspired by real cases, my private stories, and made public on a television drama to illustrate important social problems. These stories have a measurable impact. Instinctively, we know that we get information from television and not just news. Dramatic shows like ER and SVU educate viewers. Studies I've done with the Kaiser Family Foundation and published in the journal Health Affairs have demonstrated a profound increase in the public's knowledge about a variety of health issues after they have watched an episode of ER. In fact, 1 out of 7 viewers went to a doctor at one point because of something they saw on the show, which is quite frightening. The study proved that viewers retained this health information when retested 6 months later. Stories can make us laugh, make us cry, and make us smarter. Our stories are our power. Each of you has a private story to tell, no matter if you've majored in chemistry, music, or sociology, which, by the way, I majored in graduate school, and I never took a sociology course at CC, just political science, but I went on to do 5 years of graduate study in sociology. So a liberal arts education is a good platform. Each of you has a story that has gripped you, changed the way you thought about the world, or moved you to tears. Take these stories about poverty, drug abuse, HIV, discrimination, and make them public. You don't have to be a television writer to have an impact. Write op-ed pieces, work in grassroots organizations, testify before the legislature, run for the Senate, debate your enemies, march for justice, stand for truth, teach. Tell your stories publicly. Speak out. Read poems aloud, like this one by Auden. The ogre does what ogres can, deeds quite impossible for man. But one prize is beyond his reach. The ogre cannot master speech. About a subjugated plain, among its desperate and slain, the ogre stalks with hands on hips, while drivel gushes from his lips. Take your stories and your passions and turn them into potent barbs to fight dogmatism and bigotry. You have much to do from this day on. Use the tools you've learned here and speak out. Tell me your stories. Thank you.